We've been looking at every spring at the worst cities to live in the U.S. with spring allergies for the past 12 years. We've been doing this ranking for some time now, and it's interesting how some things stay the same and how other things change. And for Virginia, you know, places like Richmond have been on the rankings for quite some time, and in the Northern Virginia area, which is captured in the D.C. metropolitan area, has been ranked up there as well. And what we look for are the things that make quality of life for people with allergies difficult. Chief among those is pollen. You know, springtime is when Mother Nature really lets it go. Springtime is the tree pollinating season, followed closely by summer, which is the usual grass pollinating season, and then the weeds pollinate in the fall. And a lot of people don't realize that. So in the springtime, it's really all about tree pollen. And places like Richmond, places like Northern Virginia, some cities in North Carolina are just really, because they're such beautiful tree-filled cities, it also brings with it a lot of this spring misery, specifically because of the tree pollen.
Now, I've heard also about pollen vortex this year because it's such a bad winter.
Pollen prediction is not easy. Our report actually bases it on actual recorded pollen counts for the previous year. So we actually get the actual pollen, the atmospheric pollen data for all of these 100 cities every year as part of the measure. We also look, by the way, at allergy medication use, and we look at the number of doctors in that area. We can talk about that in a minute. But when you talk about something like a pollen vortex, or you start to predict how bad will pollen be this year, it's a little bit difficult. I always tell people predicting pollen is about as reliable as predicting weather, and we know how predictable that is, which is to say not very. But we're getting better. And there's some things in the weather patterns during the winter and the early spring that might predict and have some correlation to what's going to happen to pollen. For example, this year around the U.S., we saw record precipitation levels in many, many major cities. A lot of moisture in the form of snow. In some cases, it was rain and superstorms, but for the most case, it was snow. And when you have a real large increase in the amount of moisture and water in the form of precipitation in the preceding season, that means you've got a lot of water that's going to feed plants that are growing and demand that kind of water to grow. And so the more water, the bigger the plant. And the bigger the plant, the more the pollen. And so it's all about math right there. That as you get more of this sort of biomass growing in our neighborhoods and in our forests and on the tops of buildings and cities and in cracks in the sidewalk, which is where weeds and grasses tend to proliferate, they produce more pollen. And so you just get a greater concentration of pollen. And for the asthma and allergy patient, more pollen means potentially worse symptoms.
Well, you had mentioned about plants on rooftops. Everyone wants to go green, but really, you know, what can pollen sufferers do?
Trees, of course, are we know where the trees are. They have to be planted into the ground, and we know that they pollinate in the spring. For grasses and weeds, it's a little bit of a different story because grasses and weeds can really grow anywhere. In fact, weeds, particularly ragweed, which is the most common offending allergen-type weed, ragweed thrives not in green environments. Ragweed thrives in the city. Ragweed thrives in sidewalks, on street shoulders, on cracks in the roof, along railroad lines. It doesn't like competition. It likes to thrive on its own, and it actually grows pretty fast. So what you find is that a lot of the people who think, "Oh, I don't live in the country, therefore my allergies aren't going to be that bad." Well, they got another thing coming because a lot of this pollen production is being done by grasses and weeds, which are found in our urban and suburban areas. But it's not all bad news. There is some good news in allergy. Yes, it's very hard to avoid your outside allergy trigger, but inside you have a little bit more control. So what we tell people during the spring and the summer and the fall is, number one, if it's your allergy season, if this is the allergen that you're allergic to, keep your doors and windows closed during that season. Don't invite the pollen in your house, because if it's in there, it could trigger your reaction no matter what time of the year it is. So remember to keep, even though we want to have our doors and windows open in this beautiful spring weather, if you have spring allergies, wait until the middle of spring when most of the pollinating is done to open your doors and windows. Another thing you can do is, for people who have to go outside in and out all day long, just wash your hair and take your clothes off as soon as you get back in the house, because you bring a lot of pollen in with you. Remember, pollen is microscopic, so you may not necessarily see it, but it is definitely in your hair, on your clothing. So when you get inside, wash your hair, or certainly before you go to bed so you're not sleeping with your pollen, but also just change your clothes so that you're not exposed to that pollen as much throughout the day. Another little trick for people who have spring allergies and outdoor allergies, trees actually prefer, most of the pollinating is done by lunchtime. They are morning pollinators. So what you'll find is that a lot of trees have finished their pollinating. So if you're going to be a jogger or if you want to go to an outdoor activity, do it in the afternoon or the evening, not in the morning, because generally pollen concentrations are lower in the evening. And then the obvious, which is if you can avoid outdoor activities altogether just during your peak season, which might mean 2 weeks in the spring or 2 weeks in the summer or 2 weeks in the fall, whenever your particular plants are in bloom or pollinating, choose indoor activities. So if you have a choice to go, gosh, I could go to that baseball game or I could go to that basketball game indoors, choose the indoor activity until, again, your season is over and clear. So we actually have a lot of these tips. People can visit our website, allergycapitals.com, and they, not only can they see where Richmond ranked on the rankings in Northern Virginia, but they can also get these kinds of tips. So it's all free. We look at three things in our report every year. One I've already mentioned, which is pollen, which is really the number one trigger for seasonal allergies. The second thing we look at is the number of allergy medications that are used per patient. We buy the data. You can actually purchase data on the number of prescriptions and over-the-counter medications that were purchased for allergy. And we look at everything from the nasal sprays to the eye drops to the pills and the oral antihistamine. The only thing we don't look at is allergy shots. But we look at the stuff that most patients would use for allergy care. And then the third thing we look at is the number of allergists per patient in that city. The implication being, if you have a place where you only have a few allergists for a whole lot of patients, those patients are going to have a harder time getting an appointment. They're going to be waiting longer for their doctor. They may be in centers that don't have big allergy practices that are doing clinical trials and other kinds of allergy research. So they're at a disadvantage to other communities where you might have a larger population of allergists. So when we look at that for all 100 cities and we run the numbers, Richmond came out at number 8 this year. Richmond was number 22 in 2013. It was number 8 this year on our list. And it was primarily because it had very severe numbers in each of those categories, a very high pollen count. In fact, it was about 3 times the average national pollen figure. So Richmond had a particularly bad pollen year last year. Secondly, in terms of the allergy medications that were used, Richmond had a worse-than-average ranking on that as well, meaning people were using more allergy medications in Richmond on average than in other places. Again, an indication that allergies are more severe or people need more medications just to have a decent quality of life with their allergies. And then thirdly, and this is the bright spot for Richmond, is that you do have a good number of allergists. So where Richmond came out average on the list this year was that Richmond has a good number of board-certified allergists and allergy specialists who are practicing in there. So there's hope that people can get an appointment within a reasonable amount of time, and there's a lot of research and work being done in the Richmond area on allergy and immunology.